Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
What if I get out of breath?
But we do need to keep the big chair, at least until January, because that's when Meredith's hip surgery is.
As they say, look after the pennies, and the pounds will look after themselves.
I'm very nervous about this.
Getting onto the property game could be within your grasp.
Roughly speaking, having a mortgage on a month-to-month basis is about half as expensive as renting the same property.
You want to own my living room, but you won't. No one will be using it. Will I be allowed in?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Here are your hosts, Mike and Nate.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, how can you buy your first home?
So, what do we have to look forward to today? We'll have Daniel Hegarty, founder and CEO at Habito, in to discuss the changing tides in the mortgage game. And later, Mr. Money will be putting another customer service team to the test in this week's prank call.
But first, it's time to step into the ring for Fighting Talk.
Time to lace up those gloves. It's Mike versus Nate in this week's Fighting Talk.
So rather than compete in a heated debate, as has become the standard for the Money Bites podcast, this week, me and Nate will be trading our top tips to help you get on the housing ladder. Nate, why don't you kick us off? What is your top tip?
So, first up, let's be honest, houses are bloody expensive. And if you're in London, we're talking ridiculously expensive. So saving up money to get a deposit is no easy thing. And with FOMO gripping us like never before, words like prudent, saving, send shivers down the spine of many of us.
Oh.
Saving money is dull, but it's important, especially if you're hoping to hop onto the property ladder anytime soon. And my top tip is budget. Start by learning what you spend your money on. For some of us, this involves pen and paper or Excel spreadsheets. But there's a range of budgeting apps out there to help you regulate what you spend, whether it's the likes of Yolt or Money Dashboard. A budgeting app can provide you with a clear understanding of where your money is being spent and can help you to create savings goals.
I'm going to borrow my top tip from Simon Rabin, CEO of Chip, who we had on Money Bites last week. And his top tip was to think about your savings in terms of goals, because it really can be quite disheartening to open, let's say, a fixed rate savings account and see your money stagnate with a 1% interest rate. But if you think about what's behind that savings account, whether it's a deposit for a house or a holiday, you might be more motivated to keep growing your savings.
I think that makes a lot of sense, Mike. So more and more banks have features where they'll round up each expense to the nearest round figure, be it Halifax or Monzo. Saving the few pennies that make up the difference between that £2.40 coffee and a nice round £3. And by the end of the year, it can really start to add up. So as they say, look after the pennies and the pounds will look after themselves. Outside of apps, there's a heap of things we can do by ourselves. So you can set aside money from every payday and funnel it into a savings pot for that deposit. What have you got for us, Mike?
Well, Money Bites listeners, you will not be surprised to hear that we are fans of tackling all things money related in Manageable Bites. We took a deep dive into all things Lifetime ISA on episode 7 with our friends at the Nottingham Building Society. And as we heard then, the Lifetime ISA can be a really great way to step onto the housing ladder. So let's recap how it all works. Well, with the Lifetime ISA, you can save up to £4,000 each year towards your first home. And the government, Boris or Jeremy, will add an extra 25% bonus to make saving up just that little bit easier. Now, Lifetime ISAs, well, they come in two flavours. You have the kind of cash vanilla type and the investments ISA. If you do opt for an investments ISA, your money may grow at a faster rate. But as with all things investments, there is risk involved and you may end up with less money than you've actually put in.
Awesome. So my next tip involves cleaning up your credit score. And this is really important because it's a key part of the mortgage app process. So a good credit score will mean mortgage lenders are likely to view you in a better light.
So Nate, how can we actually get a good credit score?
Well, make sure you pay your bills on time and sign up to the electoral roll. You should also sign up to a free credit score service like ClearScore to see what's on your credit file and challenge anything that you think shouldn't be there.
Next up, Nate, I've got shared ownership and help to buy loans. Now, many of us want to own our own four walls, but buying a house or indeed a flat can be really hard. And there's a few newish schemes out there that could help. First up, we have shared ownership schemes. They allow you to buy a share of a property, typically 25%, 50%, or even 75%. And what this means is that rather than forking out 100% of the cost of your home up front, you can buy your home in stages. But if you do opt for a shared ownership mortgage, you'll have to pay rent on the share of the property that you don't own. And then there's the Help to Buy Loan scheme, which is focused on new build properties. This scheme lets you buy a first home with the government lending you up to 20% of the total property price, which means that you'll only need a 5% cash deposit, and a 75% mortgage will make up the rest. And best of all, you won't even be charged fees on that 20% loan for the first 5 years of owning your new home.
And finally, as we covered in episode 2 of the Money Bites podcast, perhaps going to see a mortgage broker like Habito could be the first step in helping you jump on the housing ladder. Not only do most brokers have access to tens of thousands of mortgages, but they can provide a useful sounding board to make sure that you too are mortgage ready.
Cheers for that, Nate. So there we have it. Our Money Bites top tips to help you step onto the housing ladder. Whether it's saving up, cleaning up your credit score, or even looking at schemes like shared ownership, or even just going to see a mortgage broker. Getting onto the property game could be within your grasp, but it does take a bit of prudent planning.
Good afternoon and welcome to Barclays. My name's and how can I help you there?
Hello. I have a question. I'm interested in the shared ownership offer that Barclays do, but yep. I have a few inquiries into, you know, how the whole ball game operates, really.
Of course, take your time. Yeah, ask as many questions as you like, sir.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. I mean, so the thing is, me and my wife, we would quite like the idea of shared ownership, but we would have a few terms. If I am to own just a portion of the house, I would prefer it to be the kitchen, as I'm a keen chef and my wife Meredith, she likes pastries. So that would be non-negotiable. Yeah. We've discussed it and I'm willing to surrender the living room, but we do need to keep the big chair at least until January because that's when Meredith's hip surgery is.
Okay. When you say shared ownership,
yes.
Do you mean as in like you and your partner have an equal share to the property, or is it you, your partner, and then, like, for example, there'll be like a housing association or some company that owns, like, for example, 50% of the property and you pay rent to them?
What I heard was shared ownership means that I own a portion of the house and then the bank owns the rest.
Yeah. So shared ownership specifically mm-hmm. is a situation where, for example, you, your partner have, just for argument's sake, own 50% of the property.
Yes.
And then some company like, just some urban company will own the other 50%. But obviously, if it's just a kind of joint mortgage, then that's fine.
Okay,
naturally, we all hold a charge as part of that.
Right. I do have a few more questions. If we were to share a home, I would need you to give prior notice if you were to come home after 10 o'clock. At this time, me and Meredith, we're normally catching up on our backlog of our supermarket sweep. And if Meredith is shocked by anyone gallivanting in and out, you know, at all hours of the night, she could do her hip back in. So it's essential that you wouldn't come in past 10. Where would be most convenient for you to live? I mean, in regards to your work, I mean, me and Meredith, we're both retired, so frankly, we're doesn't bother us.
Well, to be honest with you, where Barclays would come in with this one is all we would do from our side is we would do a valuation of the property in question.
Mm-hmm.
From there, it's yours, Meredith's house.
I don't understand. So you... You want to own my living room, but no one will be using it. Will I be allowed in?
Oh, of course, yeah. Of course, that'll be absolutely fine. The kitchen's yours as well.
Yeah, well, that is wonderful. Meredith, no one's coming. No, your hip's going to be fine.
No worries, that's fine, sir.
Time to fire up the hot seat as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
This week, we're joined by Daniel Hegarty, the founder and CEO of Habito, an online mortgage broker which has grown massively since setting up shop in 2015. Daniel, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us what's Habito all about?
Well, thank you for having me. So Habito is an online mortgage broker. We help customers kind of find the needle in the haystack of mortgages, if you like. We aggregate about 20,000 different products from over 90 lenders. And we both give advice, find the product, and then go all the way through to making the application on behalf of the customer.
And mortgage brokers are massive in the UK. I think some 75% of us use mortgage brokers in the UK, a lot more than other countries like Ireland, for example. What led you to come up with Habito and kick it off in the UK?
So the UK is globally peculiar in its enthusiasm for mortgage brokers, obviously. I'm a fan of them. The genesis for me of Habito was I was shopping for my first home about 5 years ago. Now, going through the rigmarole of looking at properties, trying to imagine building a family in these places, find something that we could afford and it made sense. And it came to the process of applying for the mortgage, and suddenly everything got even more complex. So we went with a traditional mortgage broker who will remain nameless, who might be a competitor of ours now. And what actually happened was they submitted my application to the lender with me on the application and my partner again. So the application was declined after about 10 days on the basis that I was a bigamist or a polygamist or something. So mortgage broker apologizes, submits the application again, but this time takes me off and just submits my partner and my partner. And so another 10 days passes, another application declined. And actually the people who were selling us the house started threatening to pull out. They didn't think that we could secure the credit. And we got there in the end, but I guess the thing that really struck me was, you know, I'd been in fintech for a few years at this point and was just how entirely kind of disempowered I felt in the process, and how kind of the complexity and the jargon and the kind of misinformation around the products, as well as having this intermediary who didn't seem that keen to help, kind of made me feel as a consumer. And I thought, well, I think if we can kind of capture that feeling and solve the underlying problem, there might be an interesting business to build here.
And it definitely does seem to be an interesting business. Habito has grown massively since 2015. And obviously you're quite well known now for your Hello Habito campaign, because mortgages are notoriously stressful and it's a difficult product to apply for, certainly if you've not gone through that process before. So how does Habito make the journey of mortgage applications less hellish?
So I think there's a few things. So I think the first is, I actually think it all kind of stems from empathy, and actually even our kind of slightly ridiculous adverts kind of all speak to the kind of the truth of getting a mortgage, which is it feels like you're being beheaded or mugged or any of these awful things you see in our advertising. The way we kind of position the solution to that is firstly, it's just stripping away all of the jargon. So just even coming to the most basic understanding of the mortgage market is incredibly challenging for somebody, because why would you care about mortgages if you weren't trying to buy a house? There's no reason to be an expert. The second is putting all the mortgages in one place, so you don't have to trawl around between different brokers and price comparison sites or lenders, so you can be certain you're getting the best deal for you in every case. And then we also spent quite a lot of our time thinking about how to make the process of giving advice more kind of comprehensible to consumers, and also kind of make it free and democratize that access. So ordinarily you would pay for mortgage advice. With Habito, you can 24/7 log on and you can talk to our chatbot and receive regulated advice. So that was kind of core. And then there is a huge amount of really kind of boring stuff that sits beneath the surface that the consumer doesn't see, that allows for the processing, the application, the submission, and kind of in roughly, on average, takes about half the time for us to process a mortgage as it would for a traditional broker.
So as we said at the top, you know, Habito has grown pretty big, and it's one of the really big online digital mortgage brokers. Have you been able to use some of that scale that you've built up in the last couple of years to change the way that certain lenders work with you to kind of make it easier for the end consumer to get that application through?
So I wouldn't want to take all the credit for it. I think the lenders have come to us in many occasions. And I think because we're seen as having the kind of interests of the market at heart and trying to solve this problem, we find a lot of the lenders are eager to work on new technology projects with us that kind of facilitate either the digital submission of application or more clarity around digitization of the eligibility criteria I was just talking about. So we've worked probably with half of the big retail banks now on some kind of API project, and that's something we think is good for everybody, so we're more than happy to be kind of the beta testers, if you like, for those kind of products.
Are there certain lenders that you try not to work with just because they're really, you know, they tick the boxes for certain consumers, but actually you just know they're going to be a pain to deal with?
What it all comes down to is the consumer benefit. So if the consumer above all things just wants the cheapest product, and so they can wait a year for the application to process, then we would just find the one that's the cheapest. Normally, whether it's a remortgage and you're going to fall onto your SVR, or you're trying to close a house purchase, time is a factor, and that will exclude a certain number of lenders where the kind of the time to offer might kind of turn into months rather than, you know, weeks.
A lot of our listeners are going to be thinking about their first home and trying to kind of jump onto that housing ladder at some point, particularly if they're in London. It's a bit of a dream for many of us. What do you think first-time buyers need to be particularly aware of when getting mortgage advice?
Yeah, I think, you know, so the there's many, many challenges facing first-time buyers in this market, although you might argue it's the best it's been maybe in the last 10 years with the kind of help to buy and so on and so forth and shared ownership. I think the core thing is just being realistic about the costs that you're going to face. And obviously saving the deposit is one thing, but then you're going to have, depending on the price of the property, you may have stamp duty. There's going to be legal, there's going to be survey, there's going to be conveyancing, there's going to be fees. I think it's being realistic about what you're getting into. I think one of the challenges, so if you, not to get too technical about it, but roughly speaking, having a mortgage on a month-to-month basis is about half as expensive as renting the same property. So there's a huge kind of economic imperative to try and get yourself onto the housing ladder. But the fixed costs of that first step are really, really meaningful. And I think what we're seeing is, I guess, a kind of collapsing of the housing ladder, if you like. People aren't moving rung by rung by rung because it's just too expensive. So instead, people are saving for longer and trying to buy a property that they can live in for several years.
Do you think things like rent recognition would help? So if more mortgage lenders actually could see that you're spending £1,200 on your rent in London and able to afford that, but actually the money that you save and the fact that it's a cheaper mortgage doesn't seem to be part of the factor when they're thinking about affordability and things like that.
So a lot of the kind of affordability analysis was a function of, you know, the mortgage market review, which was a function of the financial crisis. So there's a lot of really kind of well-meaning, kind of well-thought-out regulation that's trying to protect consumers from ending up underwater or losing their homes or being in an unaffordable situation. So that's definitely a good thing, but the kind of unintended consequence of that is it's excluding lots of first-time buyers from market. And also, because they look at it, the affordability on a monthly basis is extending mortgage terms. So now we're seeing 40 years become very, very common. And the difference between, I'm going to get my sums wrong, but I think roughly speaking, the difference between a 25-year and a mortgage and a 25-year mortgage and a 40-year mortgage is about 100% of the interest. So you're doubling the cost of that mortgage by extending it that far out. I think the FCA are trying to do the right thing in terms of protecting consumers, but I'm not sure that in every case it's working out as they intended.
Which leads us on to Habitogo, a new kind of product or service that you've developed in the last few months. It looks a bit like a bridging loan for consumers to kind of help them get onto that mortgage ladder, get their property, and then kind of get the mortgage to follow on a few weeks or months later. What led you to bring this product to market, and how's that initial reaction from customers?
It kind of came back to my own initial experience. That's what we'd thought about for a long time, which was so entirely overwhelming, the first time buyer experience. And there's so many different components that you have to think about, from finding the property to what your bidding strategy is going to be, to how long it's going to take to get any kind of certainty over whether your mortgage is going to come through, and all the other challenges. We were kind of thinking about, I guess, a service that we could offer to first time buyers that removed all of that uncertainty from them and gave them, I guess, kind of leveled the playing field, if you like, with the kind of the cash buyers and the buy to let landlords that they might be competing with, who are much more kind of educated in this space and kind of more seasoned bidders. So it's the essence of Go is, we say, listen, we can see that your credit looks good, we process thousands of mortgage applications, and we know that you're going to be fine with this mortgage in 40 days, so we'll lend you all of the money today, so you can go out into market, you can behave like a cash buyer. There's two kind of core benefits to that. One is you will often be the preferred bidder, so the fact that you can move quickly, that you don't have any chain or contingencies, is attractive to sellers, and there's really quite a lot of research backing that up. And I think it's, I'm going to get this wrong, but I think more than 50% of sellers said that they would choose a lower bid. And then also there's often a discount associated with buying in cash. So our research shows something between 3% and 5%, which then goes straight into the first-time buyer's pocket, which they can then spend on renovations or stamp duty or whatever else. So really we're just trying to remove the uncertainty from the process and kind of accelerate the consumer into being able to make a bid that they can stand by and win the property.
So we talked about Go being a new product for Habito this year. Another new product has been your own buy-to-let mortgage product.
Yes.
How's that going? And I guess, what is the end goal for Habito? Where will Habito be in the next 5 years?
So it's going really well. We're sort of tremendously excited. It was quite a long road to launching it, and obviously building a kind of sort of fast scaling mortgage broker while simultaneously building a full stack digital lender was not without its challenges. I think the basic insight was, as a broker, we can help on a number of levels. So we can give better advice, we can give the whole of market insight, we can speed the process along, but ultimately we can only sell the mortgages that exist in the world. And we really felt like we wanted the chance to build like more novel, more innovative, more transformative products. Now, we don't we're not going to build like a better 60% loan to value remortgage to compete with HSBC. Like, we'd never be able to compete with them on cost of capital. We don't take deposits. We're not a bank. But there are a huge number of really good customers who are excluded from this market, who, if there was a more flexible approach to underwriting, perhaps a kind of more modern approach to recognizing their income for people who are self-employed, for example, and buy-to-let being probably the most pertinent case right now, where facing some real uphill challenges from a tax and regulatory perspective, where a better, faster, more transparent product allows landlords to have more leverage in the market, expand portfolios, whatever it might be. So I think buy-to-let for us is the first kind of beachhead of our lending activities, and we would imagine launching sort of two or three or four more ranges of product over the next year. But we kind of were proving out the case with buy-to-let first.
As you talked about, Daniel, the mortgage market is massively competitive, whether it's HSBC throwing all kinds of deals into the market or a number of lenders shutting up shop. Do you have any predictions for the mortgage market in the year ahead?
For good and for bad, the mortgage market changes incredibly slowly. So I think there's a couple of interesting things. I think we're starting to see the maximum LTVs creep up as there's kind of recognition that for first-time buyers to get on the ladder, they're going to need a little more help than they have. So I would expect to see that being more common. As you tend to see at this time of year, as kind of some of the lenders get worried about hitting their targets, you start seeing a bit of a relaxing of criteria. So we're seeing age, kind of maximum ages go up. We're seeing some of the kind of light to adverse credit being kind of more acceptable. But I think in the short term, it's going to be more like you're going to see more of the banks just focusing on reducing their operational costs, driving up the profit margin by driving down their cost base. And I hope, I hope we can do our part to bring more kind of innovative product that's sort of less focused on cost optimization and more focused on customer enrichment.
And what a note to finish on. Well, Daniel, thank you for coming in and thanks for your insight. How can people find out a bit more about Habito?
You can come and see us at habito.com, where we have all the mortgages. And you can follow me at @DH_Habito on Twitter.
Well, awesome. I hope you have your chopsticks ready, Daniel, because it's now time for Skittlemania.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania.
We've put 30 Skittles into Cup A and given our guest a pair of chopsticks. Over 90 seconds, Daniel from Habito will attempt to transfer as many Skittles from Cup A into Cup B, whilst answering some of the silliest questions the smart money people can muster. Remember, the record to beat is held by last week's guest, Tanya Andreasen, with an amazing 17 Skittles. Our time starts now.
Okay, all right.
Which animal would make for the worst landlord?
A wolf. Hold on, wait. This is extraordinarily difficult. Hold on.
The first one will come, I promise. Who would be your dream Glastonbury headliner?
Radiohead. I actually saw them when I was 15. It changed my life forever.
Yes. One. Go.
First one in. Mince pies, yay or nay?
Yeah, the cheaper the better. I like the dirty ones.
Well, that brings us on to our next question. Aldi or Lidl?
Lidl. Although I live next to one, every time I go and I see a fight. Every time.
That is an endorsement of Lidl. How many times in your life do you think you've sneezed?
40,000.
Would you negotiate a mortgage for a particularly aggressive hippo?
Yeah, all hippos are aggressive. No, nasty people, hippos.
We've clearly not spent enough time in a zoo. Have Haribo approached you for a collaboration involving mortgages that are paid in tweets?
They haven't, but we've got quite a few angry tweets from people who are unhappy with the quality of their Tangfastics because they've got the handle wrong.
18 seconds left. Do you have a favourite Daniel from history?
Oh, goodness. Now I can only think of Daniel Bedingfield, which doesn't feel appropriate.
5 seconds left. One last question. Is it okay to recline your seat on the plane?
Not really, no.
And that's our time up. How many Skittles
was that scooping
has
at the
Daniel
end?
Got?
It was a bit scoopy. Okay.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Wow.
Is that good or bad?
That's a very respectable, yes. 10 Skittles for Daniel from Habito.
That's a huge relief.
Well, Daniel, thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining us on this cold day in London. We look forward to welcoming you at some point in the future.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
So, that makes Daniel the latest Skittle success story. A podium finish with 10 Skittles, meaning he and Michelle Pierce-Burke of Wealthfi are joint third on our leaderboard. Tune in next week to see if another contender can unseat current leader Tanya Andreasen of FinTech Futures and become the latest Skittle sensation.
And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Please review, subscribe, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.